Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Rick Shelton for this life-changing message.
Hallelujah. Well, it's good tonight, isn't it, huh? Amen. It's wonderful. You know, sometimes when we are just sitting in the presence of God like this, worshiping the Lord, I must confess that I become a bit selfish and I start enjoying it too much myself and forget about you. And, you know, it's just the way it is. And I, just standing down there tonight, worshiping, I could just, I would have been, for me personally, just as happy just to continue on like that, just all evening long. I look forward to this. Today I was looking forward to this. Just to come and just to be bathed in God's presence, because it just makes everything else right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Makes every problem seem not so big, puts everything in perspective, and it just brings such a sweetness over your soul. It makes all of you look prettier, and it's just wonderful. It's like when the presence of God gets strong, you know, Pastor Mike, the stronger the presence of God gets on me, it's like the slower I talk. Have y'all ever noticed that? You all hear me preach sometimes, I talk real fast. And the presence of God gets stronger. The stronger it gets, the slower I talk. It gets strong enough to where sometimes I just have difficulty talking. And this is kind of where I feel I am right now. But, as Paul said, it's more needful and profitable for me to say some things to you, communicate with you. And I want you to listen to this, if you will. The preaching and the teaching of the Word in these meetings is of paramount importance, as I said last week, to keep a clear, straight rudder concerning how we look at these things, you know, what God is doing, what we want Him to do, and so that we don't become goofy. Because how many of y'all ever seen some spirit-filled people become goofy? Y'all ever seen that? Well, if you haven't, I've seen enough for all of you. And I've seen plenty of it. And I don't like it. So I don't want people to become goofy. We're to be ordinary people with a supernatural God working in our lives. But having said that, I want to talk to you just for a little bit about becoming an anointed minister, becoming an anointed minister. As you come and you are blessed in these meetings and God touches you and fills you and baptizes you, then it's so easy to get in a mode to where that we love that so much that we just are all about receiving. And of course, I talked about how important receiving is earlier, and it is, you can't give if you don't have. So it's if you're going to keep giving out, you see, somebody like me gives out all the time. I have to take in a lot, and I make sure I do, and not just the Prince of God, but the Word of God, especially. But we can get in a mode of just receiving, and anyone who just keeps receiving and doesn't eventually take what God has put in them and start ministering it to other people, then that person will become obviously introverted and inwardly focused, and which is selfishness. And that's the principle of Satan. It's not the principle of God. And that's why, frankly, to be honest with you, that's why one reason why people do become goofy is that they just become, it's like one guy said back when we had the conference here that led into these Tuesday meetings, and a guy came from another church and he was powerfully touched, and he said, "Oh," he says, "I'm excited you're having these meetings." He says, I'm an anointing junkie. And he doesn't know it, but there's almost nothing he could say that I would have hated worse. I just hated it. I mean, I almost wanted to just tell the guy. I didn't. He doesn't go to this church. I don't have any authority in his life. But he said, I'm an anointing junkie. But that's one of the most stupid things you can say, an anointing junkie. You know, I'm not addicted to the anointing. I'm not addicted to a cloud or a power or, you know, some touch. I am addicted to Jesus and his will and his plan for my life. But I'm not an anointing junkie. And so, you know, the only real reason we can give or purpose that we can give, let's just say reason that we can give explanation for why we need to continue to receive like this, the only explanation you could give is that so that you can have more, be empowered more to go and to give. Otherwise, there's really no reason other than, of course, you first get, you know, God begins to deal with you, mess with things, and clean yourself up. But then you've got to go and give. And Josh, I know those of you from Central West End know that Josh, Pastor Josh, read this passage on Sunday morning there. But I want to read this and say something about this. It's the Great Commission of Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And Pastor Josh and I were sitting talking the other day, and this came out of that, and then that's why he shared on Sunday. And then I share this with you tonight that, you know, if we're not clear about this, people can be confused about what we're all about. They think, oh, what's that church about? Oh, that's a revival church. We're not a revival church. I just want to make that clear. Revival is not something you build on for a lifetime. Revival is something that restores life so you can go on and carry what God's called you to do. Are you with me? If I'm about revival, if I'm spreading revival, that's one thing. But if I'm about a whole church, it becomes about just revival, then it means that we sure have a lot of dead people around here. Yeah. Are you with me now? Because we got to keep, our whole focus is revival. It's not. The empowering, you see here clearly in the Great Commission, that the empowering of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and to cast out devils and even moving all these supernatural things is for one purpose. It's that you may go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The vision, if you really want to know what the vision is, it's not about the power, it's about the going. Yes. And the only reason for the empowering is to go. You're empowered to go. Yes. Everybody say, I'm empowered to go. I'm not empowered to stay. So, you know, if I don't go and do something, become a minister, get that word in your head in a new way. Forget about the idea that just ministers means people like me. You're a minister. Every person is a minister. Minister is someone, you know, like in the medical profession, someone who ministers, you know, they're people who minister to people. They minister medication. They minister, you know, other procedures. As a Christian, every person's a minister. You minister to people the wisdom and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit out of your own life. And every one of us have got to understand that when we receive, Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. And, you know, in other words, he's saying, you know, don't sit here and receive and don't go and then not go and start giving. Now, what does that mean? What are you to give? Well, the Bible tells us, and you can look at these places, some of these places later, but just to save time, in Acts chapter 3, after Pentecost, and then Paul and Peter and John go to the hour of prayer at 9 o'clock, and as they go to the hour of prayer, they see a man who'd been lame from his mother's womb sitting at the gate called Beautiful. And the man looks up to them, as he did all the time to everybody, looking for them to give him money, alms. And Peter looks back at the man and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you." And I thought, that's always really touched me, because Peter was saying, he said, "Look, I can't give you any money because these pockets are empty. If I had something in there, I would give it to you. But I don't have it. I can't give something that I don't have. So I don't have any money. I can't give you money." But he said, "I do have something else." Now, there's something powerful just in that thought. Before we even get to the giving part, the fact that Peter did realize that he had something. And I think that's the first thing to become a minister, to realize that there's something on you. Oh, Jesus, help us listen. Look at this passage later. Oh, Jesus, this is later in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, John says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One." You have an anointing. Verse 27, he said, "That anointing which has been given to you, it abides in you. It remains in you. It doesn't just come on you." Listen, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit, that anointing is on you and in you. Peter could only minister to this hurting man healing because he realized there was something that he had. Something was on him. And one problem that I see with a lot of Christians, and I'm talking about even many who have been baptized in the Spirit, those who have received God, His power, His fire, that they look at it as something that's come to them, but they don't realize that what comes to you from God becomes something on you to give to the world. Y'all out there today. And so you got to realize, when God touches you, why is it? Let me ask you this. Many of you will relate to this. Why is it when you get touched by God? Some of you relate to this in these meetings. Maybe weeks and weeks ago, you had a powerful encounter with God. And then you come back again, maybe the next time, you don't have the same kind of encounter, but you sense the anointing more freely and greater than you did before you had that powerful encounter with God. And then the next week, and then in your prayer time, you start experiencing some of that. And then it grows to where that all of a sudden, it's like now all you have to do is get a little bit in the presence of God, either in a meeting or in your prayer time, and all of a sudden it's on you, it's there, the power of God, the anointing's there. What happened? You have to realize, when you got touched or baptized or filled, that wasn't just an experience that happened to you. That was something that was deposited in you that has become something upon you to give to the world around you. And so that Spirit, it's like whenever Mary was pregnant, and then the Lord told her to go and visit her Aunt Elizabeth. She's pregnant too. And whenever Mary goes into the room, all of a sudden, listen, that whenever Mary went into the room, that baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped inside of her for joy, jumped inside, whoop! Elizabeth thought, "Man, that baby just jumped inside of me." Why did that baby jump? Because when you're pregnant with something and you get around somebody else that's pregnant with something, when you get around them, that which is pregnant with you, that you're pregnant with, leaps inside of you because of what's pregnant inside of them. Did y'all get that? In other words, there's a touch of God on you. You get in the presence of God, and immediately that baby leaps in your womb. How many of y'all understand? Does that make sense, what I'm saying to you now? And so anyway, Peter says, we do have something on us. And what I have, such as I have, I give to you. Now, the first thing I just want you to get tonight is this, is that you have something on you. It's called the anointing. And that anointing is not just to bless you, it's to give out, to minister to others. through the laying on of hands, through joining hands with them in prayer, through speaking to them, you know, some wisdom of God, or God may give you a word, or there may be a prayer, or whatever it is. Now, what is that anointing? Well, you can read this later, but just listen. You know, I was going to go to all these scriptures, but look, you just look them up later. Luke chapter 4, whenever Jesus first came out of the wilderness, he came to the synagogue, and he read out Isaiah chapter 61, and he's saying, this is me today. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Well, it says on later in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, about that event, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who was oppressed of the devil, the Lord working with him. Now, listen to this. Jesus said, there's an anointing on me. What is the anointing? All the anointing is, the anointing is the presence and the power of God when it's being ministered through you to other people. That's the anointing. It's not the anointing. You know, some people say, oh, I feel the anointing. Well, if you're just being touched by it, technically that's not the anointing. That's just the glory of God upon you. That's just the presence of God. It's not what is technically the biblical anointing. The only time the word anointing is used in the Bible, it's not used in the speaking of the presence of God as a receiving. In other words, somebody being blessed, that's the glory of God. That's the presence of God. Same thing. But the anointing is only mentioned as the presence of God that is flowing through you being ministered to other people. That's why Jesus says, there's an anointing upon me, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He says, not the anointing on me, it's the Spirit of God on me, and the Spirit of God has become an anointing upon me to, oh, hallelujah, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the blinded eyes, to set the captives free. Y'all with me now? All of these things. He says the Spirit of the Lord has produced his anointing, which is the presence of God to minister to other people around me. Now, you have that anointing. 1 John chapter 2 says, every single one of you do. And many of you don't realize that, and you don't have confidence in that. And so, therefore, maybe you look to people, ministers, and think, oh, they're anointed. And, you know, look, I appreciate people that, you know, think well of me and, you know, say good things. And, I mean, look, anybody would lie if they say they don't, you know, aren't blessed by that. You just need to know it's like Pastor Youngie Cho in South Korea said. He said, you have to take praise. He said, you have to take praise from people and criticism the same way. He said, you don't take it and put it in your mouth and eat it like candy, where you suck all the stuff out of it and then swallow it. He said, you have to take it like chewing gum, where you take the sweetness out of it and then spit it out. Are you out there? Otherwise, the thing will produce a knot in your stomach. Are you with me now? And so, you know, I appreciate the good things people say, but listen to me. It's very, very important to me in this house that we get this and understand this, that there is no distinction between the minister, meaning the pastor here, or the pastors, and what's on them, and any one of you, what's on you. The same thing that's on me is on you. You say, oh, well, don't people have special gifts? No, not really. No. The Bible says there are special gifts that move through people, but the Bible says it's severally as the Holy Spirit wills. Nobody owns those gifts. The Holy Spirit just moves in different ways. On different people at different times. He owns the gifts. I don't own the gift. And so, now, there are offices that are given in the church, and I stand in an office, and so do these pastors. And there's an authority that goes with that office. And so, and the Bible teaches there should be a respect given to that office and an honor and a respect. But as far as the gift, that's different. You know, it's one thing to respect the office of a person, but it's quite another to be enamored by a gift or gifts upon certain people, and then crowds gather to the meetings so that they can experience this gift on somebody. And so you say, well, look, Pastor, we realize there's anointing on you, and we're just here because it helps us, it blesses us. I get that. I understand. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm not sitting down there not doing anything. That's why I'm up here. But my point is that I'm only here to help something jump on you so you can get up and do the same things that I'm doing here. Are you out there? And that's all. That's all. And if that doesn't happen, then it's ridiculous. It's useless. Josh and I were talking the other day about, even about, you know, the church here and these meetings and how that, you know, look, I want to take here soon and get some of these other pastors up and to lead you into moving this anointing, because look, if, you know, if we move too long, you know, we're just people, you know, look, you know, where one person's doing something, then, you know, we can just get the idea that it's just one person. And the anointing of God's on all these pastors, and just as the anointing of God's upon you. So anyway, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Now, let's talk about that. How do you give the anointing? How do you give the anointing? This is one reason why people lack confidence in ministering to people. It's because, now listen to me carefully. You better get this. Listen to this carefully. They lack anointing. They lack confidence in ministering to people, and they don't see great results primarily because they don't have confidence in what's in them, first of all, and second of all, they don't have confidence in how to release that which is on the inside of them. Many people make the mistake of praying when they pray for people, whether it's for some healing, a headache, or whatever else, or whether it's for someone, for an answer to prayer, or for wisdom, or direction, or, you know, whatever it may be, that they make the mistake of praying with their focus on God in heaven coming and doing something for that person. Now, it is God doing it. It's not you doing it. I understand that. But what we must understand, the Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 17, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within us. One of the greatest truths you can learn. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, has been deposited on the inside of us. Are you with me now? We're not praying, and don't get me wrong, we're not praying and releasing something out of the core of our soul or out of our mind or something else. It's not us. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. He said, don't you know that? Now, and so many people make the mistake where the reason they don't see results is because they're praying, oh, God, come and touch this person. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, will you, this, you know, change this and do that and the other. And what they need to understand is, listen, now, you ought to be sensitive to the Spirit, and God will lead you to do things in different ways. Don't get me wrong. But as a matter of principle, when you're ministering to people under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're not praying for God in heaven to come and do something. Romans chapter 10, you know, the Apostle Paul says, don't say, Jesus, come back here from heaven so you can come and do something, or come back up from the grave. He says, the word of God is near you in your mouth and in your heart. He says, that's the word of faith which we preach. He's saying right there, he said, man, when you pray, don't be praying for Jesus to come and do something from heaven or come back from the grave and do something. He says, the word of God's in your mouth and it's in your heart. What's he saying? He's saying, I've given it to you. There's a deposit in you. He's saying what that person needs, it's not in heaven. It's not in hell. It's on the inside of you. My kingdom's in you. Healing's in you. Deliverance is in you. Power's in you. Wisdom's in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The blood of Jesus is in you. The name is in you. He said, release what's in you. You get that? That's what true ministry is. It's releasing what's on the inside of you. And people don't have confidence in ministering because they disconnect this power to bring the answer from them, and they've got it somewhere up there or somewhere down here, And they don't realize that, again, it's not you. You're nothing. I'm nothing. But it's what God has chosen to deposit in you and I.
Hallelujah.
That when you minister to people, you are praying, releasing the power and the authority and the wisdom of the kingdom or rule of God that's already on the inside of you.
Yes.
Now, when you get your confidence built concerning that, it will revolutionize your whole life, the way you touch people's lives, the way you minister to them. You ought to just be a magnet for ministry everywhere you go. You ought to just be ministry waiting for a place to happen. Ministering to people everywhere you go. You are the temple of God carrying the kingdom, the rule of God, the reign of God on the inside of you. All of the wisdom of God's in you. The power, the authority of God is in you. You listen to me now? And even people are praying for, oh, God, come and do this in my family. Do this in my work. Do this. And God says, I've already brought my kingdom to that place of work. I've already brought my kingdom right there to that neighborhood. Where, Lord, where is it? It's in you. Release it. Get it out there. Hallelujah. Woo, is this helping you tonight?
Yes.
And so anyway, when you understand that and gain that confidence, you see, some people, they don't have confidence in that rule or that kingdom or that power and authority that's in them. Because they think they have this wrong idea. They think that they have to be in a real feeling of spirituality at the moment of release of ministry to someone. And this opportunity for ministry just cropped up to them at the middle of the day when they didn't feel really spiritual. Or they hadn't just prayed. And so they just ate a hamburger, and so they're kind of full right now. And so they're thinking, man, I can't minister now, release something. Surely that power wouldn't be released through me now. I'm full of a cheeseburger right now. And what you don't realize is all that cheeseburger has filled is the building. All that cheeseburger has filled is the brick and mortar. It hasn't filled what's inside of that house. What's inside of that house hasn't been touched by that cheeseburger. The kingdom of God is just as on ready the moment after you ate that cheeseburger as it was the moment you came out of prayer in the morning.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is on ready. I don't care what time of day it is.
Yes.
I've been at a ball game. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, come on, speak to me in a moment whenever I need to do something. You see, because the kingdom of God is in you. Now, listen to this. That power's in you. This is the way Jesus ministered. If you look in the book of Luke chapter 6 later, and you'll see there a passage where the multitudes came and brought people to Jesus to be healed and delivered, healed of all kinds of things and delivered from demon powers. And the Bible says that they all sought to touch them, ready for this? Because power went out of him. They all, now watch that, listen, you got to get this. They all around town came around, bring the sick people, bring the demon possessed. Why? Because they sought him because power was coming out of him. What does that tell you? That tells you they'd been in previous meetings, or at least other people had who were telling them about it. You need to come and see this guy and let him pray for you, because wherever he is, when he ministers, there's some, listen to this. Oh, Jesus, help us. These were Jews that were used to believing that the power's up there. The throne's up. Yeah, I mean, listen. You know what I'm saying? And now they said there's a difference. There's something coming out of this man. He's not just praying and making a connection with heaven. He's praying, and we see something coming out of him. We can feel it coming out of him. Y'all out there today? It's the same thing that in Mark chapter 5, when the woman with the issue of blood for 18 years, or 12 years, how they went to the doctors, kept getting worse, nothing they could do for her. And the Bible says that she just came, and she kept saying, if I can just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. I don't even need to touch his skin. I don't need to touch his toenail. I just need to touch the clothes that he, not even the clothes. I need to just touch the little thing sewn to the bottom of the robe. And if I can touch that, I know I shall be healed. Why? Because when she got there was a throng around Jesus. What a throng means, if you don't know what a throng is, I've seen a throng in India a number of times. And that is that whenever I held crusades there, and you come down from the platform, they have to literally have a crowd of guards around you because people are so thick around you that they're pushing you back and forth. And like literally we got in a car one time trying to get away, and people were rocking the car back and forth. That's a throng. And there was a throng around Jesus. And in the middle of that throng, here comes this woman with the issue of blood, and she just touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus flips around. He said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Come on, Jesus. There's a throng of people here. They're all shoving you. There's people just shoving you this way and that way. Don't you know? What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody touched you." He said, "No." Now, are you ready for this? He said, "Somebody touched me because I felt faith, or I felt power going out of me." Did you get that? Everybody else is touching me with their body, but somebody touched me with their faith, because faith, the reason I know that, I don't know any other way. I didn't see the person. I didn't feel them because they just touched the hem of his garment. I didn't feel them, didn't see them. Nobody told me it happened. How did I know it happened? Because when it happened, I felt the virtue, the power of the kingdom leaving out of my body. He said, and when I feel that flow leaving out of my body, somebody just got healed. Y'all out there today. That's the way Jesus ministered. He turns around, finds the woman. She came, bowed down before him. And he said to the woman, he says, "Your faith has made you whole." It's your faith that tapped. When you touch the hem of that garment, that was your point of contact of your faith. Now listen to this. Hallelujah. And I'll get to the latter part of this. This is so important tonight. So important tonight. If everybody in this whole church can get this and become effective ministers of what's inside of them, you with me now? It'll change our whole church, change the world around us. So whenever the woman with the issue of blood was healed, how was it that anointing healed her? Well, there was a point of contact made. Now, usually that point of contact is not by touching someone's garment. More times than not, it's through the laying on of hands. That's why we said a couple weeks ago that Hebrews chapter 6 says that one of the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, of Christianity, is the laying on of hands. It says that in Hebrews chapter 6. And the reason it is because laying on of hands is the number one way that ministry is done. Now, doesn't just mean you always have to lay your hand on someone's head or whatever else. You can join hands with them. Many times I've just joined hands with people, if it's in a public place or sometimes in a restaurant, say, "Would you just join my hand right here?" And to me, that's laying hands on them. I just want to make contact, that's all. Yes. Are you with me now? Yes. Because what's in you is the power and the resources to bring healing or bring an answer or bring a touch of God to that person, and what's in them is the need. And you just need to get what's in you, that's the resource, to get from you into them. You need to get the need to meet up with the power, and then God will solve the problem. And to do that, you need a point of contact. And so ministry always needs a point of contact. Now, it's not always laying on of hands. Sometimes it's a word spoken. Sometimes Jesus said, "Come, go." Sometimes he says, "Be opened. Rise up." Now, to Jesus, listen to me. Whether it was laying on of hands or whether it was a word that was spoken, every time it was still a point of contact. Now, what do I mean by that? Look, you have to look at it like this light in this room. The only reason this light is on in this room is because a switch was thrown earlier. And before that switch was thrown, when it was all dark in here, there was still power, plenty of power in the lines in the walls of this building. If you don't believe it, you could have just, well, there's all dark in here. You could just go take a knife and cut into the wires, and you would find real clearly that there is power still in those lines, even there, though it's not producing anything. But in order for that power that's hidden in those lines to produce some kind of effect out here, there's got to be a switch thrown. Now, what is a switch? All a switch is it's a contact. There's a contact inside a little box somewhere, and that contact, all the time the lights are out, listen, here's the contact. That contact is open all the time. And the only difference when the light comes on is someone flips a switch, watch this, which makes the contact that's open go, and the two begin to touch. Contact is made. And when contact is made, watch this. That seems like a little thing, doesn't it? Isn't that a little thing? Sometimes it's littler than that. It's just a little switch. But that little thing, what happened is there's a substation out here somewhere. I don't know where it's at. But there's a substation out here somewhere that's so full of power that if you would get even close, within 5 feet, if you'd get within 5 feet of some of those transformers out there, let me tell you something, you would have an awakening. You don't even have to touch it. You get close to it. There's so much voltage there, you can't handle it. As a matter of fact, the power source out there at the substation can't cause any. There's no constructive use for it out there while it's out there. There's too much of it. Oh, Jesus, help us. There's too much of it. But that substation has wires hooked to it, big wires, that come down the streets. When it comes down the streets, it breaks off and has smaller wires, comes down to this street. When it got here, there's a wire somewhere coming to this building. There's wires that come into the building, and then they distribute out to these rooms, and each of these rooms have switches. And when the switch is thrown, contact is made, and the power that is beyond your ability to absorb, to take, to make contact with, that somehow when the contact is thrown here, it produces a beneficial effect for you in your life right here. That's exactly what ministry is. Ministry is taking the substation in the power of the power of God in heaven. And that substation, that's not the substation, that's the whole power plant up there. And it's distributed down here in substations. And those substations have wires, you understand, in the spirit. And those wires come down. They come to churches. There's a wire for each church. The Bible says there's an angel over each church. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a flame on each church. And then there's wires that come out of that and go into each person. You listen to me. And you're hooked up to that wire and you don't even know it. And the only thing, now watch this, listen. The only thing that's waiting for that power from the power source to come through you is for you to get up and have confidence that you can close that circuit by making a contact. Whether you finally come to this and you say, look, I'm going to pray for you. And when I pray for you, it's not because of me, because of what I believe God has given to man. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to release God's power. And I believe Jesus is going to heal you. God's going to break that depression off of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, contact is made. Woo! Hallelujah. You with me now? And all of a sudden, there's a release of the power of God. Does that help you? Yeah. Listen to me. That's the way ministry goes. And you got to be led by the Holy Spirit, like I said. But it's just the way it goes. The Bible says that there were many great things, signs done through the apostles, through the laying hands on the apostles. The Bible says in the book of Acts that even Paul was preaching one time, and listen, they were so aware of this energy of God on him that they came and started bringing claws and asking him to pin them on his body and wear them on his body inside of him. I could start putting them in pockets and everywhere, and he would put them on him while he was ministering under the anointing. And then they would take him off him and give him to people, and they'd take him home. People, demons would be cast out, and people would be healed. because of the transfer of that power out of Paul's temple through those claws into people's bodies. Y'all out there today. Hallelujah. And so you just let me ask you a couple of y'all. First of all, you help me, Devon. Look at this. Look at this. Just come here just a minute. You know, you just take, you take this, you see, here's a guy. Let's say if Devon's a guy that I want to minister to. And then I know that silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I want to give to him. I don't have to shout, I don't have to holler and, you know, do some tantrum, jump up and down and cut myself like the prophets of Baal did. But you just take, just look at this. Now watch this. I'm going to, this last thing I'm going to tell you about this. Listen. I said there has to be a contact made, but it's not just when I join hands with him or lay hands on him. That's physical contact. I'm not talking about physical contact. What makes the contact of the kingdom of God in you with the need in somebody else is it's spiritual contact. And spiritual contact is made by your faith. So I make up my mind that the moment that I pray and I say, I've done this so many times, and I say, in the name of Jesus, whoo, see, that's, look, what's happening, whoo, see, what's happening, look, now come here, stand him up just a minute, listen, now listen, you say, wait a minute, you weren't even praying for him yet, where you were explaining to us, yes, I'm explaining to you, and he didn't even know this, but I'd made up my mind that while I'm explaining to you, I was going to go ahead when I said Jesus and release it then. Just to show you, when my faith goes, pew, the power of God is released in Jesus' name. You can let him down. That's fine. Look at this. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's faith that releases. Amen? Isn't that good? You like that? Isn't that good? Come here. Come here just a minute. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word, and I just say, you know what? Look, I just tell you right now. I just know this. I'm going to release God's power. Bible says you release it through the laying on of hands. You don't even have to say a word sometimes. And so you just, it's not that there's so, oh my God, there's something powerful in his hand. No, it's the power of God belongs to heaven. If I ever think that it's me or I get prideful, let me tell you something. The power of God will lift. It's not you. You have to just stay humble before God. But the thing is, you have to understand that kingdom of God is on the inside. Amen? Amen? The kingdom of God. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is on the inside of me. It's within me. Say, it's within me. Right now. Pat, come here real quick. Look at this. Can you just come here real quick? Somebody come up behind him real quick. Somebody come up behind him. Quick as you can. Whew. Woo! Look at that. Now listen. I just said, I didn't even touch him at that point. I'm just trying to make a point to you. It's that faith. I just said, I'm going to release my faith. Whew, right then. And then the power of God comes. Huh? Hallelujah. Now listen, now you're not going to do this like this whenever you go and sit in a restaurant and somebody's got a headache or something. But I will tell you this. I have seen it so many times where you start ministering to people like this. You say, can I join hands with you? Can we pray for that headache? Oh, Lord. And she don't know what I'm doing, but I just... Lord, just touch her now, Jesus' name. And I just see him go, whoo, 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 what's that? What's, y'all with me now? Don't even know what it is. And I just tell him, that's Jesus. That's the beautiful presence and the power of Jesus. Amen. Now, you know what I say? Sorry for scaring some of you. I just, some of you just wet your pants just then, didn't you? You know what I say to you? All I say to you is, go. Freely you've received. Freely give. That's what this is about tonight. You've been sitting in God's presence here tonight. It's not about having some kind of wild service or thing. It's about being empowered to go and touch the world around you. In your world. Amen? That's what you're doing, right? That's what you guys are doing. God touches you powerfully, and you go and you release what's on you. See, it's on you. It's on you. Just little old you. Isn't that something? Little old bubbly you. Isn't that something? Every one of you. Hallelujah. Just come here. In the name of Jesus. What I have spoken tonight, the Lord says, is upon you now. Wait. Come here. You believe that. And don't you ever doubt it from this night forward. I'm sending you to a world around you that desperately needs the power of God. Go and give it, says the Lord God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, watch, if she'll do that, something's going to change with her these next days in her whole world of ministry. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.